WHAN Radio does not share the same views and opinions of Radio Rubber Room, nor should anyone.
A story which contains more than first meets the ear.
Time does not pay.
Shalala, this is Radio Rubber Room. Welcome, welcome. Coming to you live on WHAN 1430 AM if you're within a 4 mile radius, but also heard on 102.9 FM if you're a little further away. And don't forget, you can listen in the future as a podcast on www.radiorubberroom.podbean.com. We've got a great show for you tonight. We have Grease Trigger in the building. Kinda, right?
A little short.
We've got Russell Lacey of Grease Trigger in the building, though, however. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Glad to be here.
Is this a habit with Grease Trigger?
We try not to make it.
They just bail on you? You show up. You're always a trooper. You always show up, and they're like, it's snowing.
Well, even on a radio show, you know, they're worried about their appearance. So I think they're still, like, looking in the mirror and getting ready.
Now, tell us about the other members of Grease Trigger. Who's not here? Who's lame tonight?
The lame cats are Corey Wells, guitar player. I guess we started this about a year ago, and that's about when I met Corey. Mm-hmm. Kai Eason, I've known for a while. He's a bass player all around town.
Mm-hmm. He's actually playing, in Virginia Beach?
Yeah.
Filling in for Todd Harrington and with the project, right?
Tonight. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And
so I guess that's a good excuse.
It's an excuse.
It's an excuse.
No, he's all right. And actually, the drummer that we've been playing with, Scott Lewis, actually just had an opportunity to go on tour with another band, so he's doing that. But in the meantime, we've got some other big things kind of lined up, so nobody's going to notice any shortage of Grease Trigger.
Cool. So you have another drummer ready to go?
Yeah.
Who's that? Let's throw his name out there.
Dusty.
Oh, Dusty.
Oh, awesome. Who is the drummer for DJ Williams?
Yeah. So I assume he's down there too. Or is somebody filling in for him and he's somewhere else?
I think he's down there. I don't know. Because we just started getting rehearsals and things going. But yeah, I'm going to start booking up again. Kind of like take a step back, start moving forward.
So you're going to play some solo acoustic songs tonight. You're going to play some Grease Trigger songs too? Or some solo stuff?
Well, I did just finish up a record called Charlestown, and so I'll probably play at least a tune off that. I don't know, maybe I'll throw in a Grease Trigger one.
I feel like you should. Yeah, let's at least do one Grease Trigger one.
Yeah,
give the people some of that.
A fourth of a Grease Trigger song.
A fourth of a Grease Trigger song.
I feel like I'll be missing out on the rest of the instruments.
Well, mashups are like a big thing now, right? So I'll just like put
them
all together.
Do a little Grease Trigger medley.
Yeah, I'll do it.
That sounds good.
Produce all of the instrument sounds with that one.
I'll put like all 150 songs that I've written all into one. Each beat will be a different song.
That could get interesting. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm distracted because I feel like we're moving up in the world, man. These headphones are awesome that I have on. So.
Dan is very excited. Other than all the rest of the equipment at the station, the early space stage technology, you've actually got a nice piece of new equipment on your head right now.
Dude, I've been complaining about the headphones for a long time, and not that I'm, you know...
How old were those?
It's not that I'm making an excuse for the sound quality of the show previously, but now I don't have an excuse for why it's bad anymore.
I tried those headphones on earlier, and I could hear thoughts.
They make your head look bigger, by the way. I mean, not bigger, better.
Yeah.
Bigger and better.
Oh, nice.
Thanks. How old were the headphones before? How old were they?
Not old, but if you notice, they, I think everybody here has a giant head, and I don't know if you noticed, but only one of them worked, but they both kind of flapped off the ears because they were broken and they were taped on.
Well, I'm very happy for you. I'm happy when you're happy.
I like that we're like dying with old technology in here, and they're just like, here's some headphones. Like everything else is from the 40s.
It's definitely improved things.
Piece at a time.
So you guys do have a gig coming up this weekend with Grease Trigger, so Dusty's going to be filling in for that, I guess?
No, we actually have another guy filling in right
now.
Wow,
this is getting complicated.
It is getting complicated, but now Dusty is starting after this show.
So who's filling in this weekend, then?
His name's Andrew's from a band called Ghost Owls.
Okay. Well,
oh, nice. Yeah.
I think they've been on here before, right?
I think the case is with drummers, that they're just all in each other's bands and playing shows with each other, dropping out. I don't know. You always hear about drummers switching bands. Crazy.
Flakiness. Do you find that to be a problem?
Well, when one of them goes Spinal Tap on us and turns into a globule, then I'll really start worrying. Yeah. But at this point, it's just one of those growing pain type things.
Who is the best drummer for Grease Trigger?
Are you asking me? Or I don't know.
I was just saying an ominous question. It could be anyone. They're out there. If you're listening.
All right. Well, it's time to take
a little break. Speaking of the show, this coming up this weekend, you're going to be playing with Brother Bill. This is a track from Brother Bill. This is Too Young on Radio Rubber Room.
Sandwiches and entrees with international flair. Comfort food for Richmond. Fill up your belly while not emptying your wallet. The Republic, 2053 West Broad Street. Weekly dance parties and live entertainment almost every night. Locally owned and operated. The Republic, RVA.com. The Republic, 2053 West Broad Street, Richmond.
Hey guys, it's me, Sean, from Radio Rubber Room. Here with another great product that I developed in Grandpa's tool shed. There's no hiding that I like to watch TV a lot. Watching TV can be made difficult whilst doing activities such as taking a shower, chopping vegetables, or driving a jet ski at night. Enough of that nonsense. My new product, it's totally amazing. Sean's TV helmet. I made it out of old microwaves. Sean's TV helmet condenses the mind-numbing entertainment you love into a convenient yet fashionable helmet. Simply plug my TV helmet into two electrical sockets, Wait just a few moments while it warms up. And just relax while the ear and nose plugs form fit to your head. That's snug. Now make sure you're within close proximity to the X-ray receiver interface, and bam, in no time you have access to a staggering 11 channels that I personally approved. What's going on in Sean's bathroom? And Shades of Purple are guaranteed to be your two favorite TV helmet stations. Sean's TV helmet uses highly powerful lasers to turn your eye into the projection screen, beaming the TV directly into your head. It's just like real life. Want to change the channel? Just put the oral remote deep in your mouth and change channels with your tongue. The helmet also comes with refillable odor pustules, bringing your TV helmet experience to the next level with scents like old ham, a fermented banana, I hope, and what I think purple smells like. Having the power of dual microwave technology pulsing through your skull can get hot, so be sure to keep your scalp cooling cap in the freezer and wear before every use. Order my helmet today and I'll throw in my high-def eye drops. If you think you've seen the world, think again.
Yes. Simon, sweetie.
What is it, Mom? I'm kind of busy right now.
Simon, baby, what are you doing in there?
I'm fighting my action figures right now, Mom, and using my imagination.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, sweetie. I just wanted to let you know your favorite show, Radio Rubber Room, is on.
Oh, sweet. I'll be ready in 15 seconds.
I knew it was your favorite, sweetie.
Thanks, Mom. I love you.
I love you too, sweetie.
Yes. Radio Rubber Room, it's a show without any S's in the name.
As I walk down the road, but I'm trying to find my way. Darling, have faith in me. Oh, these bones keep on breaking, and these pills that I'm taking. So, darling, have faith in me. They say go like a soldier, so I'm gonna march right to that day that we might meet again. Yes. Time around, I hope to God that the queen is sound. So darling, have faith in me. As I hold this guitar to my chest, I can't worry about the rest. So my darling, have faith in me. Is gonna get you sometimes. So I'm gonna strut right to that day that I'll reach 99. Yes. As I walk down the road, but I'm trying to have faith in me. Sometimes I wonder how I keep from going under. So my darling, have faith in me. Oh my darling, oh my darling, have faith.
That was Down the Road by Russell Lacey live here on Radio Rubber Room. And that was one off the Charleston album, correct?
Or that no? One was not on the Charleston. That's just when the Grease Trigger plays.
Incorrect. Man, I am great at fact checking.
So was that like, would that be like a... I understand that you're by yourself and it is an acoustic cover, but is the real song similar or...
Do you have other instruments in there?
Yeah, I mean, that's... I wouldn't play it... when we play it with Grease Trigger, it's kind of just like one of those soulful-type rocker songs. Mm. It, you know, Corey has a big solo over the form and all that, and it's actually a band called The Congress recorded that on their first EP. Grease... I just have never done it. We'll probably put it on Grease Trigger's record when we get around to doing that. Hopefully, I think this time, sometime this summer.
Because Grease Trigger does have some stuff recorded... But not quite an EP. How many songs do you have recorded?
That was just a demo, because actually another... we had another drummer at the time when we did those, and we were just trying to get something to get it out there. But we're, you know, we've got more than enough material to do a record.
So do you have a time frame on getting a Grease Trigger album done?
I'm hoping to get it done by summer, end of summer, and have it out hopefully in August. But you know, best laid plans and all that.
Now, what's the writing process like with Grease Trigger? Do you come with the lyrics first? Do you guys do it on the fly? How does it work?
I mean, I write a lot. You know, sometimes a word will come, sometimes a phrase will come. You know, and I'll just take it to the band. Sometimes I'll have something that I think may be a little too out there, and I'll give it to everybody and. They'll give me the thumbs up or thumbs down, and I'll take it back. It's a pretty, you know, fluid process, though.
No. Do you play acoustic guitar with the whole band around?
I've done that before, but we're kind of... Because I've got some songs that are kind of, like, country-ish, and, like, on the Charlestown record, there's some that definitely hit in country. But kind of gotten away from that. It's just more...
Grease Trigger's a little more straightforward rock.
Yeah,
but you do play. I've seen you do some acoustic sets too, live, and you do a pretty good hybrid, like slide picking kind of stuff too. Are you playing the slide much with the Grease Trigger?
I'm not. Corey plays slide on a couple of tunes that we do. I mean, we've got two guitar players, and you know, Corey is really the lead guitar player. Mm. But I'll take solos sometimes, and I'll let him. Do what he does, you know. I couldn't do it.
do you prefer one to the other, doing the solo acoustic thing or rocking out with the band? Or is it just two different outlets for you?
Yeah, it's just two different things. Gives me an excuse to write an acoustic song, you know. There's lots of things that just never see the light of day. I'll probably end up doing another solo record, even with Grease Trigger going on. Mm. I actually just booked studio time to start doing that again.
So Grease Trigger, looking towards the end of the summer, do you have a time frame on the solo one?
No, I'm going to kind of let it see what happens. I've got a lot of ideas in my head right now that I want to flesh out, and part of that's just get in there and see what sticks.
are they all going to be finger pricking orientated?
I think this one will probably be kind of a surprise. It'll be a little bit different than necessarily what Grease Trigger does or what I did on Charlestown.
So like techno beats behind your tunes?
Huge techno. I'm getting into total dance music.
Yeah.
Dubstep remix.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it all myself in my beat studio at home.
Speaking of Charlestown and talking about the next record, you had your record release party February.
Mm-hmm. Did it at the Camel.
How's it been received? Because I've heard really good things about it, and I've actually been anxious to get my hands on a copy. Thanks to you, I now possess one.
Well, that's what I'm here for. I think it's been received well. I mean, the little write-ups and things I've gotten on it have been good. It's just a matter of getting into people's hands. People seem to approach me with positive feedback, but I guess nobody... I'm waiting for somebody to tell me they just hate it.
What's the relation that you have with Charlestown?
I don't really have anything with it. I was up in Boston for a couple of years, and it's just north of Boston. It's like, you know, that, what is it, the movie The Town? That's like, oh, that's so Charlestown.
Oh, okay.
This is a different Charlestown than I'm even thinking of.
Mm-hmm. This is like an industrial, we did it in like a studio we built in an industrial park with this guy, Ben Gebert, and Buffalo Bear Studios. And we went in there in 1 weekend and tracked like all the basics for the band. We'd been rehearsing for a while, and I wrote the record in like the 2 months prior to it for the most part. And, I mean, it was a wild experience. They were shooting adult films next door while we were doing this, and like...
Did you make any cameo appearances?
Not that I remember, no. I don't think so.
That could be could be a distraction.
That's the promo video for Charlestown. It's only on a need-to-know basis, though.
The secrets are starting to come out.
Uh-huh. Now, it's a very... the art in the CD casing is very well done. Very, very, very well done. It's a nice piece of merchandise to have in your hand and just look at.
The case feels hand woven.
It does. It feels hand woven. People aren't doing that as much anymore, at least, especially on an independent level, just because everything's digital now.
Yeah.
What was the decision to actually make that a nice piece of art in itself? I mean, it feels nice to the touch.
I gotta touch this thing.
I was just hoping that people would just, you know, hold it close to them while they sleep.
Don't touch my album.
it kind of turned out better than anticipated. I mean, Triple Stamp Press does a great job, but the booklets that we actually got sent to us had just a great quality, and it was received really well.
And do you think that helps handing that to somebody? Because I know I listened to it when you gave it to me right away. I was like, oh, this just looks good. As opposed to something with Sharpie on it, even if it's a band I really want to hear, just like, I mean, we grew up in that time, me and Dan, with CDs, and like the cases were like, they meant something to you, you know?
You kids. And
the art
CDs.
On the case, you know?
Well, you got the Digipack, man, and I gotta say, dude, I haven't seen a booklet in a CD case in forever, dude.
Yeah. That was a lot, like, going to a music store, and a lot of times that the drawing of the eye to something is what would lead you in the direction of something first, you know?
That all started,
something
like,
you didn't know about.
With records.
Well, yeah, but exactly. But nowadays, you know, it doesn't, you know, with things being so digital, you don't have that touch, you know?
Uh-huh.
That eye candy.
Do you think it'll be just like a jump drive that you hand somebody?
People are doing that.
They're already doing that.
Yeah. Boxwave got their album. It's not available on jump drive.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Even I saw the Trillions, too. They've got a thing on their album on a jump drive, and they got extra stuff, videos on there, too.
Yeah.
And you bring it to the show. I saw a post by them. You bring the jump drive to one of their shows with a dollar. They put extra stuff on it and mail it back to you and add things to the jump drive.
That's awesome.
Last time they came here, they did have a really cool CD case as well. I guess they had ordered like 1,000... 8-inch vinyls or 8-inch floppy discs.
Yeah, floppy discs, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were giving out their CDs and that. And, like, definitely I feel like I totally agree that medium is memorable. Like, I do not hide the fact that I collect records from the 70s. And, like, most of the time I'm picking up ones that I never saw that just look cool. And I'm checking them out. So, like, whatever you can do to, like, try and make yours stick out, I definitely stand for. I like the touch of the record. I went over there and I touched Dan's
He got
Thanks
up and he touched
for molesting
it, you know?
My record now.
So, Russell, the album was recorded with a band up there, but not a band, I guess more just a studio band for you. Or was it a band you were gigging with, too?
We played a couple gigs. I mean, they were all friends of mine. It could have just as easily been a band that I was playing with. It's just we were all from
Just didn't want to come up with a name.
Yeah. I didn't want to give them credit.
That's for the best.
They do have credit.
So the next solo album, are you thinking of Grease Trigger being the band for that, or are you going to look around for some of the guys to play with you on that particular project?
Yeah, I think I would step out. It doesn't mean I wouldn't call them in for something. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, there's so much different music. It's like, we'll treat it differently. Sort of like that record. I mean, I couldn't have made that record necessarily with Grease Trigger, but I could have made a, I can make a good record.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just treat it with two different animals.
Now, being a musician who writes a lot of songs and wants to work with a bunch of different artists, do you see their influences playing like a pivotal role in how the outcome of the record ends up being?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the guitar player on Charlestown, he's a monster. He just, you know, he did everything playing like he learned dobro in a month and convincingly played it, and now it's like has dobro in his repertoire. But I mean that's just kind of a way that he made his mark on the record. I just played rhythm guitar for the most part and sang and, you know, wrote the songs. We played it all together. But somebody like that, I mean, it's sort of like Corey and Kai. I mean, everybody's got their own sound to Grease Trigger, and it all makes it. I couldn't come up with it on my own. I can just give them a foundation.
Now, I always like to come, when the bands come, I like to be surprised by their style of music, and I don't like researching. Yeah.
He doesn't listen to any music like before they come on the show. It's very.
It's not from the 70s, so.
It's not.
It's something personal.
But I can't do anything about it.
Well, that first song you played, like, I definitely like finger picking a lot. Like, I wish I could do that. I've been trying to do it for a long time, and, you know, I know a lot of the artists do that these days, and I'm wondering, like, how much of that is resembling of what's even on the CD? Like, is the CD more rocking, or?
It covers a lot of ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, it covers a lot of ground. It starts off with a rocker, or with a kind of a sweet song, I guess.
Sweet Home Virginia.
Yeah, that's
Sweet Home Virginia.
Similar to kind of Down the Road in the sense that it's just like a soulful kind of country tinge southern song. But then there's a, you know, really heavy rockers on there, and then there's even just a 6/8 country.
But there's bands like
there's a band on it. There's one song that in particular has a lot of finger picking on it.
Okay.
That's called Rosenbloom. I guess I may throw that one in later.
Doing it as the sound check, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I was checking that out.
I mean, some of these titles, it almost looks like it's taking the path of a concept album. Sweet Virginia, and, you know, you being in Charlestown, up in Massachusetts. Is that what ends up happening with this? Is it kind of a concept album? Does it follow a path, you know, when you get to leaving this town and so on?
I reckon it is. It takes a little bit of, you know, figuring out song form and stuff. You end up, when you write them that close together, they end up being tied together a lot more than you realize when you're doing it. But I never called it a concept album. I guess it could be that way.
Okay.
How much of the album is influenced by Charleston, Massachusetts now, which is a totally different Charleston than I would put on the top of my mind?
Which one were you thinking of?
South Carolina?
Okay, that's what I thought
Chucktown. And, like, how much of the album, now you're from Richmond originally.
Yep.
How much of the album is influenced by Charlestown, and how much is influenced by Virginia?
All the songs about getting out of Dodge are about Massachusetts. All the songs about going home are for Virginia.
So when you were there, you were missing it. You were like, I just want to go home.
Yeah, terribly. I mean, I still had a good time. I'm not miserable. You just end up writing these songs about missing it.
It's okay. You can admit it.
Cried a lot.
Richmond is way better than Charleston.
Yes.
All right. We don't want to talk.
I'll put that on the books.
North Charleston.
Yeah.
We're gonna get you out of this conversation, Russell, before it gets bad. Let's take a break and play a song. Derek, would you like to tell the listeners what they've won?
I guess so. This is the Kindling Kind with Awakening.
Thank you. I'm Alejandro, and I'll be your guide. Today, we will be working with wood. Working the wood is art in its most natural of states. So natural. First, a little history of wood. Man has always had wood at his disposal. Wood comes from trees. Trees need wood to stay erect. I love trees because they give me wood. Choose your wood wisely. Working with a soft wood is less pleasurable. You will find the functionality of soft wood to be disappointing. It is important that you choose a hard wood. Some wood is so strong that even Mother Earth cannot blow them down. Such as hickory, the hardest wood. Once you have chosen your tree, you will know it is the wood you want, because it is throbbing in the sky, begging to come down for release. It is ideal that you have a partner to get that wood down, but I prefer the solo method. Get a firm grip on your wood-felling tool and stroke it, thrusting it with all of your might, as deeply into the wood as possible. Thrust and pull, and thrust and pull, and thrusting and pulling. Steady now. Timber! Bust your load of wood all over the ground. Now that you have obtained wood, maintain it by getting it milled into a more workable shape. You can get your wood milled into different thicknesses depending on your preference. I prefer 2 inches of thickness. Now I am really ready to work it. The wood, I mean. Since I've just destroyed an avian domicile, I will be constructing a birdhouse. In order to make your birdhouse, you must measure your wood. Measure and cut several units. Drilling in one, an orifice that is large enough to fit even the largest of wood peckers. Attach them using butt joints. A butt joint is a joinery technique in which two members are joined simply by butting them together. You must reinforce your butt joints. You'll need a dowel rod. Drill holes at the butt joint. Deep, but not so deep. Smear your double-headed dowel rod with lubrication. Make sure you dock your members at the correct angles or your dowels will ream your holes. That's right, ram all those rods in there. Clamp them tightly to hold the unit in place. Reinforce all the butt joints with a good screwing. Get as many screws in there as possible. Screw it. Keep screwing. Flip it over. Screw it some more. Screw it. Yes. Jam a post in the bottom. Ah! After all this woodworking, I'm in need of a nap. Don't touch me.
Yeah! Viper Crover here, and you don't have to tell me how badass your polar bear wrestling skills are. I gave birth to the first polar bear.
Radical!
Yeah! Extreme polar bear birth!
Extreme!
Nothing gets me more hyped than Radio Rubber Room. There's only one thing that gets me more energized, and that's getting dragged by a horse!
Extreme!
Nipple clamp! Ha!
Yeah!
Computers are for sissy boys. I only listen to Radio Rubber Room through the metal plate in my head.
Yeah!
But if you want to hear Radio Rubber Room, go to www.radiorubberroom.podbean.com. Now!
Yeah!
Radio Rubber Room. Awesome!
The Tobacco Company. Located on the corner of East Cary and 12th Street in historic Shaco Bottom. For 30 years, the Tobacco Company has been a staple for dining and entertainment here in Richmond. Their upstairs and downstairs dining area and Victorian lounge make it a perfect place to bring a date. Use their antique elevator to access the ground floor nightclub. The Tobacco Company has live entertainment Thursday through Sunday. The Tobacco Company, 1201 East Cary Street. For more information, visit thetobaccocompany.com.
Do you sometimes find yourself needing an extra boost of energy?
I'm 2-time extreme couponing runner-up and helicopter stuntman, Viper Cobra. And I have a new product that will give you an insane boost of energy for 30 seconds.
Incredible.
30-second energy. Eat it, smoke it, snort it, touch it. 30-second energy.
It will give you intense strength for 30 seconds.
Move a bus.
Move a boat.
Move a building.
Yeah.
Not only does it give you strength, it also gives you an extreme euphoria, an inflated sense of self-worth.
Awesome.
And a desire to do it
every 30 seconds. So extreme. You know it works because it's made out of my blood. 30-second energy raises the heart rate 300 times normal, enabling you to complete tasks in just 30 seconds, such as grow a garden, learn Japanese, shorten your pregnancy by up to 8 months. 30-second energy gives you a temporarily raised threshold for pain, making you impervious to batons, mace, and tasers. Bullets? What bullets?
I'm an immortal!
30-second energy is not for everyone, such as infants, babies, and the deceased.
Zombies.
As you begin to develop a regimen, you will notice rapid weight loss, appetite suppression, and extreme death. You'll love 30-second energy so much, you'll sell your car, your house, your family. Guaranteed, or your money back. Side effects include bleeding from all orifices,
tooth loss,
rapid aging, incarceration,
death,
immaculate conception,
purgatory,
exploding eyeballs,
super death,
athlete's foot, extreme sexual desire,
impotence,
hollow existence, and partial death leading to full death. Ever need to smash through a brick wall with your face? 30-second energy. Inject it right into your chest.
Extreme!
30 seconds of energy
right into your chest.
Love it!
Zazam here with Zazam's Wonderful World of Afghan Travel Agency. Hey, do you long to see world, go to magic place? Many things very much fun to see and do? Lot of people do not know, but Afghanistan, amazing land famous for most juicy delicious mango. And world number one export of heroin and lithium, make for very popular American battery. Do you love sand? Have you ever longed to use bathroom behind shrub in desert and wipe clean with own hand? Then pack up your luggage bag and hey, don't forget burqa to hide face of woman servant you bring with. When plan your next trip, plan trip to wonderful and amazing world of Afghanistan and witness hand first many glorious map locations like cave, other cave, mountain, burnt hospital, third cave far from first cave, pile of rock that used to be school, and most favorite local attraction, crater in middle of ground from bomb. While you here, forget not play one of national pastime game like stick wheel, or throw a piece of candy in group of kid and watch them fight. Zazam accommodate you very well while you stay in luxurious 5-star hotel cave or brand new old exploded military transport cousin Aziz transformed to comfortable sleep cabin with authentic dog skin rug. Classy, right? What wait for you? You could be burning life-size doll of famous American dictator or stoning woman in street while you eat mango. Zazam's Wonderful World of Afghan Travel Agency. You book now and I throw in free pass to national theme park named Patch of Dirt with Goat. Tattoo 3. Afghanistan, you're going to love our mangoes.
Radio Rubber Room. Your source for local music and comedy. Live on WHAN every Thursday from 10 to midnight. Also, as a podcast, www.radiorubberroom.podbean.com. Now back to the show.
Gonna do
morning glory. Well, that's a story everybody wanna know. Oh, you're fighting North of Cheyenne. You ain't no woman that I ever brought home. Tell me, baby, why'd you get gone? What's the story? Bottom line, dog, why'd you get gone? Sound, sound, come on, baby, you're going wrong. Sound, sound, we'll bear the load.
Sign Says by Russell Lacey live here on Radio Rubber Room, and that was one you do that was on your solo album, but you also do with Grease Trigger.
Yep, that's right. And that was a little bit more country version I do, and I'm playing it acoustic, but it's a pretty good rocker.
So you rock that out with Grease Trigger. Is there any of the songs that are on the solo album that you stay away from with Grease Trigger, or are they all on the table?
I don't think anything we necessarily stay away from. I just think, like, there's some kind of folky moments on the record that, you know, it's just not Grease Trigger's bag.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean somewhere down the line, but as of right now, we're just barreling through.
And we talked about the drummer situation. Dusty is going to be your full-time drummer coming up, or just... So
we've started the rehearsals with him and everything, and now it's just a matter of finding the open dates and starting to fill them up.
Well, cool. So, how many dates do you have booked right now? I know you got this weekend coming up. And where's that at? That's at the Camel?
At the Camel, yeah. We're doing it with Brother Bill. And to be honest, like with everything we saw coming up, we just wanted to get through the 26, get everything, take a step back, and get the rehearsals going. Possibly even start getting into the studio. We actually just had that conversation yesterday. So, maybe sooner than later for a record.
Where is the... What studio are you guys looking at?
Montrose Recording. It's in Northside.
Yeah. The Grease Trigger, is that where they recorded?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I think so. I've heard people talk about it, and I've heard
good things
about...
You could probably ask him, because he would know.
Yeah. If Grease Trigger recorded there?
If Grease Trigger recorded there?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Boxwave.
Oh,
Boxwave.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Broad Street Grease.
I'm a lot more familiar with Grease Trigger.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I know a lot of people have been recording there, but I think, I mean, that's where I've known them for years, and okay. It's just a great place.
So, I mean, you have recorded things at Montrose before?
I mean, basically, I was just like a kid getting into stuff. I probably made them angrier than anything I did productive, but, I mean, because I grew up, one of the guys that runs it now is Adrian Olson, and, you know, we grew up together, and... So I kind of learned the hard way of how not to do things.
So what did you record there previously? Stuff before the solo album? Or
it was really just us messing around, like getting used to being in a studio when we were kids. Like he's hands-on. I mean, he's an engineer. He does all that. But when I was like the trial and error. We would just go in there and make noises. And some things turned out good. Some things turned out bad. But I think there's probably a reason that neither one of us has any of those recordings ever.
So you got rid of them all. You trashed them all.
Totally lost.
Yeah, they disappeared.
What? Totally lost recordings.
I mean, what medium did you guys start, you know, playing around on? Was it tape? Was it ADAT?
They didn't have tape, but they had Pro Tools.
Oh, okay, cool.
We had, you know, we could just mess with anything, and you know that is one of the beauties of Pro Tools is that you can't. I mean, you can do whatever you want. There's always going back.
You said when you were a kid, Pro Tools has not been around really that long, or maybe.
Well, I guess when I was a kid, I was like, I mean, I'm 28 now, so I guess when I was like 17.
Oh, okay, cool.
So yeah,
I'm getting old, man.
That, I mean, that was about the ADAT time period.
Yeah,
still right.
I learned on ADAT.
Some places had the studio we worked at still used ADATs at that time, but maybe they're a little behind the times.
Are you familiar with ADATs?
I've never come across it. I mean, I've heard of it, yeah, but I've never.
It's a VCR tape.
Yeah,
is what you're recording to.
It's just formatted a little different. Yeah.
Wow, it's a shame that didn't stick around.
Yeah, they take up a lot of space. Wasn't. They take up a lot of space.
Yeah, it wasn't a really convenient way to record. In my opinion, I think it was dated before it was even invented.
Well, there's nothing I love more than pulling out my old VHS tapes and putting them in and looking at the high quality resolution.
I definitely feel like in the last 25 years there are so many things that like. Your friend was like, look at this awesome technology. This is the future right here. Like a week later, that was the only one you ever saw. Like mini discs came out. You know, everybody calculator had a rich friend watches. when they were young, like 10 or 15 years ago, they had Betamax players. Like a big 13-inch laser disc.
Betamax was like the 70s, dude.
Whatever. What's the laser disc then?
The laser disc. I think only science departments had laser disc.
Hey Dan, do you feel like Sean might lie to? Sean's actually older than he is, and he actually grew up in the 70s.
I mean, he brought up Betamax. I've never seen a Betamax player ever.
Like he was around when someone showed that to him. You think he's lying to us about his age?
Very possible.
Are you lying to us?
I think
we just caught you in a lie. How old are you really?
I was born in the winter. On a Friday.
Born in the winter on a Friday. Hmm.
I think I've looked like this for years. I've been around since the beginning of time.
You look okay.
Thanks.
Mediocre.
Yeah, no.
I love you. I'm sorry.
So, Charlestown, being that you had recorded it, you escaped Virginia and you went up there. Mm-hmm. You knew some people up there that you kind of hung out with, or were you just kind of exploring at the time?
Yeah, no, I was going to school up there and. Just met everybody. I mean, there's one thing that they have up there is there's songwriters like everywhere. On every corner, there's somebody who's a songwriter, all kinds of different songwriters. And so I had.
You went to Berkeley?
I did.
Did you graduate from Berkeley?
I was there for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's pretty an exclusive school, man. How was that experience?
I mean, the people was. Well, let's just say it was a good experience. There's nothing wrong with the school. It's just a music school, like, for based around songwriting. It's like you get in and get what you need and get out.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, it's at a minimum, it's a place that, you know, a lot of really amazing people congregate to.
Now, going to school for music and songwriting, I mean, what's the benefit to choosing a Berklee over, like, I don't know. I'm just going to throw this out here and say, like, Omega or even, like, a VCU for music. Like,
Well, I didn't go, like, I only went because there was a guitar teacher that I wanted to play with who's this guy Dave Tronzo. He's just a really out there type player, slide player. And then there's some songwriting classes that I wanted to take. And I just knew that in terms of being competitive from where I was, like to actually make music a reality, I had to, you know, step it up a notch. And being around like songwriters who write, you know, I was playing guitar for a guy from Texas who does like Texas country stomp rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
I was also playing a guy who's now touring around in a band called Echo Rev, where it's a German friend of ours is a drummer, and it's like electronica folk music kind of. And it's just the two of them, like they're going on tour. I think they're in Europe right now, but all these people, we would just sit around, you know, any given night and we would just like trade the guitar around, talk about stuff. And it was a good experience.
I really feel like it's a time of genre mashing right now. Get a lot of like cool stuff, like doesn't even fit into one category. A lot of the bands that we have on this show, even, you know, it's rare that we you know, it happens where someone comes in and they're like, this is the kind of band we are, and this is what we play. I'm like, they play, and I'm like, you are on point with that. You know, but then we got bands on here, and like, you know, there's so many, they're so versatile and different. Like, I feel like they're just trying to like figure out new things here. I don't know if that's just going on in Richmond.
Are we running out? I mean, is there anything new under the sun, Russell? Is there new music to be created, or are we just kind of doing the same thing over again and over again with different variations?
Well, I mean, anything's being reinvented. I mean, if the foundation of everything that we know that isn't based on electricity, like the Greeks and the Romans already did that, so it's like, well, what's the point of moving forward if you worry about that? It's like, yeah. I think there's always something. You just got to get the right person to do it.
Do you think people are struggling a little bit more to find originality these days than they did, I mean, even 20 years ago?
I just think there seems to be a change in thought process. Things seem to be so watered down. It's like, it seems that people seem to be scared to have an original thought a lot of times. But there's always people who break it, you know?
Well, before we get too far ahead, I want to ask some questions about what we've been talking about.
Hey, Sean, can we hold that thought, man? We're going to play a song. We're going to take a break. But right before we do that, Russell, do you have a Facebook page for Russell Lacey? Or a way that people can get in contact with you?
I mean, you can look me up on Facebook. It's also Grease Trigger has a page. There's a Reverb Nation page for Grease Trigger. I'm just now kind of starting. I mean, I'm a much better songwriter than I am a marketer, I can tell you that much.
Well, the package for the album looks great.
Oh, I can make records till the cows come. get them to people.
Can people get it digitally online, though? Can they find the album digitally online?
Yes, it's on the iTunes and the CD Baby. And
on the iTunes.
And it's also on Bandcamp. I've put it everywhere I can possibly think of. I heard it's on Spotify. So,
you heard it's on Spotify?
Who put really? It for it?
I don't know.
I'm going to check, man.
When I got my haircut, the girl doing it told me that I was on Spotify.
Awesome, man. I think you're the only person I know who's on Spotify, so congratulations. All right, let's take a break, Derek, man. Do you want to announce this song?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Why don't I do that? Yeah. This is Cat of Nine Tails with Ultralife. You can catch them at the Camel in a couple weeks, I believe, too, so check them out. Boom.
WHAN Ashland Richmond, W275BQ Ashland, 1430 AM, and now 102.9 FM, WHAN.
Greetings, friends. Alejandro here from Alejandro's Fine World of Art. There is nothing I love more than the feeling of being filled by art. I stuff the art inside of myself deeper and deeper, cramming it inside the innermost interior of my being. I really cram the art in there. I pound it so deeply. And when I am totally filled with the art, I hold it inside of me for as long as possible, until I explode. Radio Rubber Room has the art and comedy that I especially love filling me. And you will love having it inside you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I get a yeah, Sean?
Yeah.
Russell, go for it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Even better. And even better. All right, where'd we leave off? Where'd we leave off?
I was about to ask some riveting questions.
Well, first, man, we have a lot of things kind of going on right now. But one thing that I would like to announce is the Four Seasons for Charlotte, which Roger, who takes really, really good care of us on Radio Rubber Room.
Thanks for the headphones for Dan, Roger.
Yes,
thanks.
And makes this possible. His wife, they wrote a book, or his wife had actually written a book called Four Seasons for Charlotte, and they're having a Meet the Author party at Starbucks in Glen Allen, Virginia. That's 11321 Knuckles Road, Starbucks, Twin Hickory. That's Monday, May 4th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and you can go out there. You can meet Rachel Reynolds, and I'm assuming that they have books for sale that you could also get signed. So the majority of the proceeds go to CJ's Thumbs Up Foundation, which is a nonprofit that both Roger and Rachel run, and it is for, it is for cancer. So, all right, so check that out. That's next Monday, May 4th.
Next Monday, May 4th.
May 4th. That was like 3 Mondays ago.
I'm sorry, that is, I'm holding the wrong page.
June 4th?
That is June 4th. Monday,
thanks for
June
catching
4th.
That one, Sean. Thanks for catching
yeah,
that
dude.
One.
No problem. I know
good
that
teamwork.
Was,
good teamwork.
Don't want people showing up there the wrong day or anything.
Don't want people showing up 4 weeks ago.
Oh, so next Wednesday, man, we're doing the Santa Maria Brothers will be at the Republic with
yes,
Dream Machine.
Yes, and a great night last night with Dream Machine and Roma. I had a lot of fun.
It's crazy.
Do you have
night.
A lot of fun?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Sean, did you have a lot of fun?
Passed out.
Because you weren't there.
Passed out.
It's because you weren't there. You should have came and passed out there.
Yeah. It was like 9:30 that I went to sleep.
That's cool.
It is cool. When you wake up at 6:30 in the morning every day.
Also, dude, Food Cart Derby, Farmer's
yes.
Market, that was pretty awesome.
We shot off our first t-shirt cannon. I don't know if you've checked out the Facebook page, but we had pictures of it. Mark Ingram from Beast Wellington actually shot off one too. And it was really fun because it looked very intimidating. And we're going to work on it. We're going to keep working on it. We're going to have it for events.
I fixed it. It broke again. I fixed it. Different pieces breaking. But we
trial
came
error.
Out there. Yeah,
trial
and
error. Like they used to.
We Dan made it actually himself, yeah. And it was pretty impressive. And
I used the irrigation valve, 2 9-volt batteries for a trigger mechanism. It's basically a potato gun.
Yeah.
A CPVC pipe. Very intimidating. Very giant phallic. T-shirt cannon.
We don't use aerosol.
Yeah, right.
We do use air pressure.
Yeah. It pumped it up with a bicycle pump. It took about 5 minutes to get it loaded, ready to go.
For one shot, that was about 10 feet.
The pressure, I got a very cheap irrigation valve, and the pressure, when we had let it out the morning, basically broke the valve. So the reserve tank, when you shot it out of the one tank and then the holding tank, it just went straight through. So
it did completely. It was a strain on our budget. So yeah. You know,
I think though that I'm getting a really good idea right now that maybe it will help. Like we are talking a lot about like media, like how your media can help. Like what if you had a CD launching gun?
Oh, yeah. That sounds painful.
Yeah, that sounds like
do you like throwing stars?
Yeah, who doesn't want a broken CD that hit them in the face? That's a good idea.
Or an eye injury.
Well, if I embed shards of broken CD in their face, then they're sure to listen to it. Or, you know,
yeah. They're like, I need to find out who shot that at me. Listen to his album and unsue him. Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, as long as you can like figure out a lobbing approach.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be trying to like flick it like a frisbee.
Mm-hmm. So soft, you know, toss.
Yeah,
soft toss. Maybe wrap it in a t-shirt. Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
I also, I mean, if no one's ever seen me host something, then they have no idea what they're missing.
Oh yeah.
I'm very talented. I got to say,
you
probably
are. You
naturally talented at harassing people in the audience. So I think I did that pretty effectively.
Luckily, the line for Boca Truck was like 300 people deep right in front of us.
Yeah, yeah,
like right in front of the stage,
around.
So it looked like there was presence. It was really good.
But
a lot of people getting down to the bands too. The bands were killing it that
Chicken
day.
Chicken and Corn destroyed it. Beast Wellington and Tobacco Company. After a very busy weekend, very busy week. Dominion River Rock, Food Cart Derby, and then the Tobacco Company thing.
A lot of music happening this week. A lot of good stuff. Sean, so you had some riveting questions.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk more about Berkeley. That's a college, I guess, but I'm never going to college, so it's some kind of school.
It's a good life
for higher learning. But you're talking about how it's like a songwriting. It's a songwriting school, and I'm wondering, like, did you notice a major change in your songwriting abilities after, or?
Well, I mean,
how do you teach that to someone? Like they're like, go with what you feel and write it out loud.
I mean, it's just sort of like anything else. Like any artist had some sort of training somewhere. It's not they don't tell you how to write songs. They'll just like clue you into things maybe you weren't familiar with. But I mean, the first song I played I wrote before I went to Berkeley. So I mean, it's not. I think really what it was is being around songwriters, seeing different things. I mean, I don't even know how many songs I know just from that I learned that I steal from, and. You just get really good at being a thief.
I don't think stealing is a term. I mean, everybody stands on the shoulders of giants. We're all, like, trying to recycle, reinvent.
Oh, no, I'd steal it straight up.
Steals it.
I appreciate your honesty.
Good artist copy. Great artist steal.
That's a very... Roger is clapping for your out in the other room. So Roger enjoyed that comment.
Who was that? Do you know who that quote was from?
He's like, I made it up.
Yeah,
right. I'm sure that it's mine. Who is it, Dan?
I can't tell you.
I used to know, but I forget now.
Well, I know. It is similar to standing on the shoulders of giants, I feel like.
So you would say that you got more out of going to Berkeley outside of the classroom than in the classroom?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't even think about how much time I spent with them trying to teach me how to read music and do all this stuff and don't put any music in front of me. I'm not going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
like that with words.
It would have been much better if they put words
in front
of me.
Say it to me because I'm not going to read it.
Yeah.
Say it to me.
I think the people that I, like, you know, the friends that I had there, you know, the one guy's doing he's doing like the folk electronica thing tour in Europe right now. Another guy's playing in this band called Little Big Town. That's like a big country outfit. And he's already played like country music awards and done all that stuff. Yeah, I have another friend who, actually, I guess he's like an auxiliary member of Foster the People.
Oh, really?
A guy I played in a band with, and like, you know, it's just people from all over the country.
Well, at least next time you see them, you can be like, I was on Radio Rubber Room.
Yeah. Add that to the list. Yes.
He's texted me 5 times. He's like, CMAs were nothing.
I didn't even believe Ashland used to do my show. It was awesome. We had to go like Nashville or Europe tour.
So do you feel like it would have been more economical just to move near Berkeley? Just get a place near Berkeley and then just meet people?
Yes. Just absolutely.
Like not
you
go
could
to,
go buy the book and teach it to yourself.
Like, not go to any classes. Just go hang out in like the commons area with your guitar and pretend you go to classes.
You just smoke cigarettes out front of the building. Something good will happen.
So, how does the talent around Berkeley, how does Richmond hold up to Berkeley as far as talent goes?
Richmond's great. I mean, I think there's a lot of people up there either trying to figure something out or trying to do something, and there's just a lot of players here, a lot of really good musicians. I mean, VCU is an amazing school. It teaches them, you know, music. Like Berkeley, there will be people who spend more time worrying about how they look when they walk out of the house than actually playing their instrument.
God knows,
we got a lot of
God
that
knows here. No one on this show does that.
Yeah, not us.
Yeah. I don't own a brush. I don't own a comb.
I am liable to wear.
Combed up. Did you know, last time I saw you, you did not look that well clean cut. Did you get that just for the radio? Because I don't know if you know, people can't see the radio.
I'm learning this right now. I feel slighted a little bit.
It seems like real life, but it's all a figment of real life. Fragment, sorry.
Okay. I never know what to say sometimes after you talk, but continue.
I was just talking about like how the illusion, you know, it's so weird whenever people ask me about the radio show and I tell them, like, well, I'm listening to the live band in another room with headphones on, so it's not what you expect, you know, with the visuals.
Fair enough. Okay. Where were we?
We're talking about Berkeley.
Berkeley.
Learning.
So, do you still stay in contact with a lot of those folks? Are you, that are out there doing stuff? Do you feel like it's been a great place to make connections, though? You know,
yeah, definitely a good place to make connections.
Do you shoot them the album?
I promote it shamelessly. I'm like, oh, give me your email address, and then I send them just everything that I can possibly do, even bad songs, whatever.
Now, earlier you said you're a good songwriter, not necessarily the best promoter. You feel like a lot of musicians have that because it's not the train of thought you go into being creative with, you know. Is that something you can learn, you know, as you go? Are you getting, you feel you're getting better at it, or do you have an interest in getting better at it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I need to get better at it. I mean, I know what I need to be doing. It's just that also I end up working on music rather than that. And I just think at this point I'm just trying to push it and do it the grassroots way. If people start coming out, then they'll get it.
Have you ever looked into management of any kind, or someone that can do that for you?
I would love. Yeah, I mean, that would be great. I think really it's just been Grease Trigger has been together for a little less than a year now. It's just getting yourself established, you know, so that I have something to give them. Now having a record out, hopefully Grease Trigger having that. I mean, I'm just going to keep my output going, and hopefully something will drop. Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's go ahead and take a break, and we're going to come back. And Russell, you're going to play us another tune. Is this going to be a solo one or a Grease Trigger one?
The next one I do, I'll do a Grease Trigger song.
Awesome. So
that was a Picasso quote, by the way.
Yes, thank you, Roger.
Did you just Google that, or did no, Roger?
I Googled it.
Yeah, Roger. Also, I think Roger beat you to the punch. Yeah.
Oh man, I wish I would have known we were having a contest. Yeah. All right, this next song. This is Roma, who killed it last night at the Republic. It's the first time playing them on their show. Glad to have some of their tunes now. And this is "Ain't So Bad," The Wandering.
You say the night always starts in whispers, it ends up in praise. Well, don't speak the words if you don't mean them. This ain't the time for crying, so boy, dry your eyes and play like it's the
This is Simon, and you're listening to Radio Rubber Room. It's so cool. You guys are awesome. It's Radio Rubber Room. It's a show that doesn't have any S's in it.
Hi, this is Simon's mom, and I'm here to talk to you about the Camel. The Camel is located at 1621 West Broad Street. They serve their delicious menu until 2 p.m. every night. They also have 28 taps dedicated to local and craft beer. And they always have a fantastic lineup of great live music. Everything a good Richmonder needs to have a great time. To keep up with events and their live music lineup, search for and like The Camel on Facebook or visit www.thecamel.org. Camel, 1621 West Broad Street in RBA.
In five delicious carbonated meat flavors, chicken, pork, beef, fish, and ostrich, crack open a refreshing carbonated can of liquid meat.
I'm having beef. What about you?
I mix chicken and ostrich and it tastes just like turducken.
Packed full of protein, liquid meat is the preferred energy drink for bachelors and 3 out of 10 bodybuilders. Homeless people love liquid meat too.
You spare a dollar.
Too busy to make dinner? Feed your family an ice-cold, refreshing can of liquid meat.
New from Spoofco, it's Radio Rubber Room action figures.
All right!
Now you can play along with your favorite character from the show. Choose from one of the 3 different hosts with an array of accessories, weapons, and superpowers. The Sean action figure comes with survival attachments like pizza cutter, fly swatter, and record needles so you can listen to all your favorite records from the 70s. Hold Sean action figure up to the television and he'll tell you the program information for that channel.
I've seen this one. Let's watch porn.
Wind the key on Sean's back and listen to him try to convince you to do things like...
Wanna burn something?
And...
Let's go peek in your neighbor's window.
And...
Go to your mom's purse and take out $10.
Radio Rubber Room action figures. New from Spoofco. Collect all 3.
Welcome back to Radio Rubber Room. If you are still listening, that means bomb your building did not go off by accident. For you, I am very happy. Enjoy the show.
Take it. swear I won't tell him what you do. Won't tell him for you.
Russell Lacey live here on Radio Rubber Room. You coming back in, Sean? Taking a little break?
Yeah, I just, I'm not used to hearing the live music, so I stepped out to enjoy it through the radio.
That's how was it? How was
it? It sounded
experience?
Great, Crystal. It sounded good. I think I've heard that song before.
On the show?
We played it on the show, yeah.
I love it. And that was totally different. It was awesome.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. Do you have a question for Mr. Lacey?
No, I was just telling him that was awesome. Yep. You want to lend me $10?
You have a new fan.
Is that what we do? We interview?
How much money do you have in your pocket right now, Sean?
None.
How much do you have in your sock?
Like $50 in quarters.
You want to tell everybody your plan? To avoid robbery?
Oh, yeah. How do I avoid robbery? A, I drive the worst car you could ever imagine. Like, I feel like people want to steal my car because they're like, I need to get somewhere. But then they see my car and they're like, I'm not risking 8 to 10 for that.
That's fair.
And my other way to not get mugged is to just carry all of my – I walk around with $50, which I feel like is about enough to cover me for a day. And I carry it all in quarters in a sock. So if anybody tries to mug me, I'll just whack them.
Come at me, bro.
You want my money? You want all of my money?
Mug them first initiative?
Yeah. mug or be mugged.
Before they get you.
Definitely. That's why I also carry a knife. I'm not getting stabbed. I'm stabbing first. Stab first. Find out if they're friendly later.
Like, hi, nice to meet you.
No. Hello, lady. Are you friendly? You know?
Now let's talk.
Yeah, now that I'm sure you're not going to be attacking me now. I'm 100% confident. Like, I'm just a really paranoid individual. I just live with that.
I would have never guessed that.
I feel like if I turn right at a stop sign without stopping 100%, a chopper is going to land on the roof of my car and secret agents are going to kick my window in while I'm driving and kill me. I live in constant fear of this. That's why I don't ever run stop signs.
Well, that's good because then you're not scared of the things you should be scared about. Just distract your mind.
I'm afraid that one day I would just wake up and my mattress will be floating on the ocean. What would I do?
I don't know. I don't have those same fears.
You're not afraid of that? You would just wake up in the middle of the ocean on your mattress like everything's cool.
That's never crossed my mind.
What would you do if you were face to face to a polar bear?
Stab him and then ask him if he's nice.
Yes, exactly.
Hit him with a sack of quarters. They hate that. It's their weakness. It's their biggest weakness. The sack of quarters. Don't ask me how I know that. But here's how.
I wasn't gonna.
One time, I had an encounter with a polar bear, and the sack of quarters saved my life. That's the whole story.
Good story. Wow. Good story.
You should put that in a novel.
You're on fire tonight.
It would be like a novelette.
A novelette.
Like a paperback, like a pamphlet.
Or a sentence or two.
It would be like a one-page pop-up book.
A bumper sticker.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That would be ideal.
That would be ideal. Or a lighter, a keychain.
Like a 30-second radio show thing.
Yeah. We'll work it out.
So Russell, I don't have a musical bone in my body, man, and I'm a fan of all music just in general.
He's just kidding, by the way.
What's the difference between a musician and a songwriter? And is there,
basically, what's the difference between the two?
I guess songwriters or musicians, just the same. It's just there's a different process, you know. Just like there's musicians who don't necessarily write a lot or don't write at all, that you still need them to be able to make your songs work, you know, unless you're like Prince and you just do it all yourself. But like other musicians coming in there, you know, Kai, you know, Kai's never brought a song to me, but I know they wouldn't be, my songs wouldn't be what they are when I bring them to him.
He can take your song and make it something else. Meet it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just personalities. The best way to, you know, for a musician is just to at least have a personality show or have something, make a statement of some kind.
Like, would you say that they ever come out with, like, a lick that they're like, do you have a song that would work for this riff that I've been working out?
That's never been presented, but I'm sure I've written stuff based on that. I mean, once I have a band in mind, I can write like for that band.
See, I've been to singer-songwriter nights, and I've been to open mics before, and I feel like it's a different audience or a different group of people who are going up there to perform, and I always, you know, assume like a songwriter is going to be in the band that uses its name as the title, so like that person and the other people with him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways people do it. I think, I mean, really for songwriters, it's like, any of the songwriters that you like if you buy their record and stuff, I mean, they're probably players too of some kind. And I mean, look, there's a lot of, you know, there's no restriction on writing a song and getting up and playing it. So, I mean, it can be easier to go see those things. And people, if you have a message, they're listening to the words. Whereas I don't even know if some of the members of my band know all the words to our songs.
They're not even listening to you.
They've heard it a lot. And it's not they're being inconsiderate. It's just there's also music going on.
I know there's like six sounds that you can make pretty much. You just follow the vowels. You know, I like to sing a lot to songs that I don't have any idea what the words are. So I just, you know, you know, it all comes out good.
You are a siren. Yeah. I did not know that.
Thanks.
That's
beautiful.
Now, speaking of the words to the songs, Charlestown, you have all the lyrics in the booklet that's included. Is that something you're maybe planning on doing with the Grease Trigger thing?
I don't have any plans necessarily. I mean, I just wanted to make sure that if I, like, don't exist tomorrow, that I at least made my statement in the way that I felt comfortable with. When I was a kid, I just liked getting records. I'd sit there and, like, you see the connections of the producers. You see the, you know, reading the lyrics is always great. I used to always wonder when there was, like, a word that was different in the lyrics, why that, whether they messed up on the record or whether they messed up in the booklet.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, you know, these were things that I just really enjoyed, and I would want to make something I enjoy. I mean, there still are a lot of people, you know. I mean, even if you don't like buying CDs, you like the touch of the record, so
for real,
we can do it that way.
And he likes to hope that they increase in value, and he can resell them and buy more records too.
I would like them to be like baseball cards used to be. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Now there's no baseball cards that hold any value, really.
Not even the ones that used to hold value.
Like a Babe Ruth signed.
Really?
No longer making.
Topps doesn't make baseball cards anymore.
Oh wow.
They're going to stop.
Really?
What's the strangest thing that has ever influenced you to write a song? Like something maybe a stranger said or something, you know, like that you just...
Or an alien abduction.
Something totally non-serious, too.
I had this roommate who was dating this really terrible girl. She was terrible.
What's wrong with women sometimes?
I know this one in particular, which is just not quite right. So I had this song called Angelina that I wrote about this terrible girl. Because she was just standing at a bar the first time I met her, screaming at a bartender why she didn't have a drink in her hand.
Well, that's fair. Why didn't she have a drink in her hand?
We just got there. She wasn't even, you know, drunk. She was just
like, chill out.
She's like, I'm a lawyer.
Oh, that explains it.
And I was like, that doesn't help you order a drink any faster.
Was this in Massachusetts?
That was when I was in Massachusetts. Okay. So.
If I was the bartender there, I'll be like, I will get you a drink, but I need you to give me some lower child support payments. That'll be an even trade.
Yeah.
You don't even have children.
If I was a bartender, I don't know.
If I was a bartender, I would.
That whole story started out, if I have a job, you know, it was all hypothetical to begin with.
Okay, I see where you're going with that.
All right, you know, I like talking about singers and songwriting. What, do you think there's any advantages or disadvantages to writing alone? Like, would you ever be like, get your whole band together and be like, hey, let's write a song, like, about this kind of thing, you know?
I think, I mean, if some people who don't write a lot, it's not a very comfortable process for them, necessarily, to be put on a spot to, like, say, hey, let's write something. Because it's not, how am I going to play in reaction to what you're doing? Or it's all right, you want me to come up with an idea that's going to be a foundation for something. And I think it can be a little intimidating. So I wouldn't necessarily, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I feel comfortable with it.
How
written songs with other people.
As a songwriter, how open to other people's criticism are you?
I mean, people tell me stuff all the time. It's kind of like when you get a haircut and somebody's like, oh, you look so much better. Well, really what they're doing is they're dogging what you used to look like. Yeah. It's kind of like that.
People tell me that all the time.
Yeah, and then you didn't.
Your haircut really did make you look better.
They're like, man, your beard trimming looks nice. You look really thin.
Would it be more sincere if they were like, oh, wow, you used to look terrible?
I've gotten that before. When I just my hair was recently very long, and I got, oh, you don't look homeless anymore.
Oh, wow.
Well,
and you're like, well, I'm not. That's the new look. I'm stoked about it.
Yeah. Got a place and a haircut.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, Russell's gonna play us another song, and this is gonna be something off of Charlestown that I'm assuming.
Yeah, this one I'll do off Charlestown.
Okay, excellent. And while we're on break, if you guys are in front of your computer, make sure you find Grease Trigger on Facebook. Also find them on Reverb Nation. And if you haven't seen them, look for their live shows. They're playing this Saturday at the Camel with Brother Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are an excellent band. I'd say one thing about tonight. It's an honor to have you in here because you're a great songwriter. But, Grease Trigger together, man, there's, it's hard to replace that. No offense, Russell.
No. None taken. I would never try to take the job on that. But, yeah, no, hopefully one of these days we'll get everybody together.
Yes. All right, cool. We're going to play a song, and we'll be back with more from Russell
Lacy. All right, this is The Inflatables with Long Distance.
Sometimes I even get dirty looks from the dog. But that's nothing that would cause me to be disgruntled. Something about you sucks the air right out of my lungs. And that's air I'd rather be breathing. Where daylight ends and darkness begins, blurs together. You stay inside for fear of nasty weather. He is up to you entirely. Step outside your mind. I urge you direly. If it don't bounce back, well, you'll go crazy. Stuck in Kansas City, you're not going to get any of my pity. We got a long distance hot breakfast. We got a long distance hot breakfast.
This is
Zamzam, hold your camels and do not put on your suicide vest just yet. Radio Rubber Room will be right back after a word from their sponsors.
Lies are the guys who are so in the Damilat Duchmana, Afran and Wally Katle.
Babies! Science nerds are nearly certain that there will always be a possibility that they exist. Who will watch them?
I'm slasher porn film director and one-time most dangerous game survivor, Viper Cobra! And my Extreme Baby Survival Center is now open!
Radical!
We'll take care of your buttery baby from the day you take it home from the hospital and turn him into a badass babe-napping, rock-hard, badass baby!
Badass baby!
Yeah. Baby is so badass! 24-7 care! There will be no teddy bears!
No nap time!
No coddling!
Your baby will learn to change his own diaper!
So extreme!
We'll whip your baby in the shape with many new programs, including
chainsaw juggling,
tattoo art,
welding,
smelting,
sword swallow,
catfish noodle,
bomb defuse,
lion tame,
alligator wrestling,
gun and knife skill,
moonshine.
Yeah!
Your baby will learn the secrets to the Kama Sutra.
Kama Sutra.
So bad. Here at Viper Cobra's Extreme Baby Survival Center, your baby will learn to fend for itself, only eating the wild game that they must hunt and prepare themselves.
Yeah! Face the feeding chamber!
Feeding chamber! One baby comes out.
One survivor.
Yeah.
Now available.
Pre-birth training.
Punch, yeah. Punch, punch.
Punch, kick.
Punch, kick.
Punch, kick.
Head punch.
Scream.
Scream, yeah.
Your baby will perform his own C-section.
To the max.
And when he does, he'll slap the doctor in the face.
Kick ass.
And light a cigar.
A Cuban.
Yeah.
So bad.
Think your baby can't handle this program? I once climbed Everest when I was a baby.
Four times.
You leave your baby with me, and I guarantee you he'll leave here a toddler on a motorcycle with a Class 2 weapons license.
Weapons license.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Here at Viper Cobra's Extreme Baby Survival Center, we're gonna inject protein shakes directly into their chest!
Protein shakes!
Directly into your baby's chest!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Extreme! Extreme!
This is Zamzam with Al-Qaeda Suicide Hotline. If you are driving car bomb at military checkpoint, press 1. If you are wearing suicide bomber vest in crowded marketplace, press 2. If you are arming roadside bomb, press 3. If you are in bathtub with razor blade to wrist while listening to Radio Rubber Room, press 4.
1, 2, you know what to do.
road you're on. So be damn sure that when I dig my grave, love will be the everlasting name. Never did right by you, but you taught me more than I ever knew. You taught me more than I ever knew. This is the way of the rose. People passing by wonder why we try. Maybe we're not to blame. Maybe it's the shame. Maybe it's the cold holding down the low. Maybe so we'll know. So we'll know.
Russell Lacey of Grease Trigger live here on Radio Rubber Room. Yeah, yeah. Tell everyone what that one was called again.
Rosenbloom.
I'll tell you, I am smitten. Now, you could just play that for me all the time. I'll gaze upon your face.
He just batted his eyes when he said that.
That was awesome.
This is why we normally keep Sean in the other room.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you uncomfortable?
Not yet. Until I
Did
see
you
that
see that look in
quarters.
His eye? I would have been uncomfortable. I think he winked at you.
I didn't catch that.
I wink at everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of 70s music, finger picking is some of my favorite. And you make it look very easy. Like, I could have just, like, grabbed a guitar from, like, the street corner or wherever and just been plucking every string. I don't even know. It sounded like you plucked every string.
And I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% on this, but I'm pretty sure some finger picking happened during the 70s as well.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt you there.
I think that's out for conversation.
So, so if the finger picking music in the 70s would probably be your absolute favorite.
A lot of my favorite finger picking music is the ones that come out more recently.
Okay.
Elliott Smith kind of deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Two Gallants, they're great.
Yeah.
If you like that kind of finger picking.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, you know, I've been trying to do it for years. Like, I could never imagine singing over finger picking. It would just, my brain would explode.
Yeah, I mean, it takes some getting used to. The only lesson I ever got about it was just keep the thumb going.
By the way, we always have to remind Sean to spit out his gum before he gets out of the car because, like, of the walking, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's tricky. All these things.
I'll learn.
So, we discussed earlier genre mashups and, basically what you've done as Russell Lacey and what you're doing as Grease Trigger. Do you ever feel the need to, like, wander out of, like, the rock genre and you know, maybe try some stuff experimental? Or do you feel like that's where you belong and that's where you want to stay?
I mean, I don't know. I'll take anything as long as, like, songwriting. At one point I entertained the idea of doing, like, a straight-up folk record, like Bob Dylan's first record, and just finger pick it, sing it, go do it that way. These things cost money, so it was like, well, maybe I should hold off on that one or just get some gear and do it myself. No, I mean, I had rehearsal for another band that I might be putting together last night that covers, it's like totally different than Grease Trigger. It's still rock and roll to a sense. Uh-huh. Like, it's still based in this rock and roll Americana, but it's just a whole different ballgame. And I wouldn't be the front man. It's a bass player and a drummer, and they're both, you know, really talented. So
you wouldn't be singing in it? Or
Some I would.
Mm. So just playing guitar?
Yeah, playing guitar, and I'll probably sing and do some harmonies and things like that.
And when you say different ballpark, what ballpark?
I guess in terms of, like, modern sound, it would be similar to, like, what... like kind of the duos, like House of Freaks was a was from around Richmond. They were a duo, like Johnny Hot played in that and Brian Harvey. But it's kind of like this really stripped down version, similar to what kind of like the Black Keys, what they were doing, but it's not without, like, it's a little less of the pop way that they've been going.
Uh-huh.
And not necessarily a blues influence. I mean, it's really just songwriting based around, you don't have to write a soul song. It's like we're all, that's all ingrained in us. I couldn't get rid of that if I tried.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I should try. I don't know.
But I mean, but you're very comfortable in the rock, folk, like blues, country kind of genre. But you know, people who listen to you, they probably don't have a shot of ever seeing you in like a new wave band or like a rock rap hybrid.
I mean, I wouldn't care. I've played guitar for a lot of different kinds of bands, and I just don't think of myself as a guitar player, despite the fact that I am.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you get focused on something. And nobody's beaten down my door either.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Sean.
You've only been on this show for like an hour and a half, so.
How much does when you songwriting come into influencing the style of the band? Like, do you think that is like the determining factor that's going to like cause the whole way, you know, or not?
Can you interpret that sentence?
Yeah, I'm trying to make a sentence.
Yeah,
out of that.
Yeah, I think
your songwriting, your lyrics fit into a completely different genre? Do you think they have that, or are they kind of fitting where they are?
Lesser in that direction, as to more of, do you think like that the songwriting is what is going to determine the sound of a band?
Okay. the
good luck, Russell.
No, I think I got that one. I can handle that. It's so basically, like, I write a lot of different kinds of songs. Like, I write songs that would be like, you know, a new wave or some random song. Like, they just don't see the light of day because I wouldn't bring that to Grease Trigger and be like, let's totally reinvent everything that we've been working on and pick you out of your comfort zone. The players really are what, you know, it's like you bring the songs to the table that the players are going to interpret in a way, and then you do it. Occasionally I'll bring them something that's like, I'm like, this might be pushing it a little bit. Let's see how it goes. And, you know, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, but it's just a combination of whatever songs are brought and what the players do with them.
How often does like a tune on an instrument then influence you to write a song specifically for that?
Meaning, like,
do you find that you're mostly writing a song and then you're being like, let's find a way to like interpret this into music, or do you ever hear the music first and then you're just like, I gotta write a song?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually a bunch of Grease Trigger tunes that we kind of worked up that I just haven't written lyrics for, or we haven't gone back to. We just haven't had time to go back to them, and then I end up writing a bunch of other songs that I'll focus on before that one. So it's like one of these days, it's like a rainy day, just get back to those, finish them off, and that'll be record number two.
Are the lyrics the hardest part about songwriting? I mean, is that the most difficult aspect of the song, or do you find the music?
I think coming up with lyrics is easy. I think it's hard to make them good.
Mm-hmm.
But I can come up with them. You need lyrics to a song, I got you. Didn't say they'll be good. So you will have lyrics.
And how often do you bring a song you wrote just on the guitar, you got the lyrics, bring it to the band, and how it started is completely turned on its head by what the band brings to it? Or do they try to stay with what it is, or how does it change sometimes quite a bit?
I think what Derek is trying to say. I'm just kidding. You got this.
Well, I mean, like, I never asked them. Like, we play probably four or five songs off the record, off my solo record. And I never once was like, y'all got to learn this. You know, you got to learn it note for note. I brought them the song just as I brought it to the band initially. It's funny how certain things actually, like, happened again. I mean, even a couple licks that are on the record, like, Corey'd never heard the record when he did it. I was like, okay, well, I guess that lick is supposed to be there for whatever reason. But I just let them do whatever they want to do.
So
that's kind of a cool
thing. They haven't listened to your solo album? That's kind of rude.
By this point, they probably have. I don't, well, I mean, it's kind of one thing to be playing in a band with somebody and then be like, okay, now you have to go home and listen to my record. Yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like, repeatedly.
Do it. Yeah. Do it. Learn the words.
There's a CD booklet in there, so I'm going to quiz you on all the words. What's the fourth word?
I want you mouthing the words during this whole set.
Yeah. How often do you listen to your own CD?
Oh, absolutely not.
Never.
No, that's terrible.
Which CD do you listen to more than anything?
I don't listen to as much music as I used to.
He hates music.
Is that too... I mean, you know, I think a lot of musicians, we all have the human condition suffers from narcissism. Most musicians are very narcissistic. Do you think, you know, you're a little bit different than most in that you're not, like, as self-obsessed as most musicians who do listen to their music all the time?
No, he's totally self-obsessed.
Yeah, have you been in my car? It's just pictures of me.
I mean, if I had my own album, I would be listening to it all the time. That's and I would never tell people until they were like, what is this?
No, it's awkward. I remember one time I was in a bar and somebody and the record came on and I left because I thought it was weird. I couldn't handle that because everyone was like, does he know it's his record? Yes, I know it's my record. I know every note that's on that record. And I mean, I'll listen. I know if you see me listening to something that I've done, it's probably because I'm working on it.
Uh-huh.
And that becomes tedious, you know.
But so once you're done making it, is that the old stuff and you're like, that's crap, I'm moving on?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say that your record's crap. Like, I don't know that it is, but, like, you're just past that now already.
We're very good at compliments here.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Your record's not crap.
Just tell me, he looks so, his new haircut makes him look so much better. Kinda.
And yeah, all much appreciated on all counts on that. I don't know. I mean, you just keep coming out with them. I mean, like Grease triggers that thing, and then I'm gonna, you know, if this band, the other band ends up doing stuff too, you know, it'll be good to have two outlets because I think I've played guitar in people's bands before and done that, but I mean, ultimately if their output isn't as much as yours, then you end up just being like, oh, well, why don't we do this and start doing it? And it's pretty obnoxious, to be honest with you. I'll say that straight up.
Well, we are almost out of time, Russell. I got to say, I'm stoked that you came on the show and represented for Grease Trigger. Thank you so much for the Russell Lacey Charlestown album. And I hope things continue to get better for Grease Trigger. You guys are an excellent band, and Richmond is lucky to have you guys in here. So,
oh man, thank you. Well, thanks for having me on.
And I can't wait until the Grease Trigger album gets done. So get in the studio soon, man.
I got some things up my sleeve. So
excellent. Check them out on Reverb Nation. Find them on Facebook. And this Sunday at the Camel, you're going to be playing with Brother Bill, and it's $5 to get in.
Saturday,
I'm sorry.
Yep, that's on. Yep.
All right, so at the Camel, check them out. I'll be there. This Sunday, and Derek, you're going to announce the next song.
The next song is Let Me In by Vexine.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
I've got $5 on the dashboard and 20 in the till, and a bottle full of moonshine from a derelict still. I've got a million reasons, but I can only think of one. For every silver bullet that I keep inside my gun. So please, please.
WHAN Ashland Richmond, W275BQ Ashland, 1430 AM, and now 102.9 FM, WHAN.